top headlines.
Patriots made a trade yesterday, as Zoe and Beal were just talking about. Brandon Cooks heading to the L.A. Rams in exchange for a first rounder, number 23 overall, and a sixth round pick. So the Pats will now have two first round picks. In the upcoming NFL draft, ESPN reporting that the Pats did try and re-sign Cooks before the deal was made. Bruins fell to the Lightning in Tampa last night. 4-0. Bruce Cassidy, now what?
We're just going to have to move on, get ready for Florida on Thursday, and just be better prepared and execute better, and I think things will take care of themselves.
That's right. Bruins stay in the Sunshine State to take on the Panthers tomorrow night. Celtics lost to the Bucks in Milwaukee last night, 106-102. They're right back at it against the Raptors tonight, Jason Tatum.
We're just looking to bounce back after today. It's always like that for you, man. We'll get a chance to redeem ourselves tomorrow and hopefully get it done.
It's actually tonight. They'll tip off just after 8 o'clock right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell on the call. 4 hours, 27 minutes. That's how long it took the Red Sox to beat the Marlins yesterday, 4-2, 13 innings. They'll be home tomorrow for their home opener against the Rays. And at the Masters, Matt Parziali, the Brockton firefighter who qualified and got the invite to the tournament by winning the U.S. Mid-Amateur last year, has a practice round scheduled about 27 minutes from now with, Tiger Woods. That's a good spot for a local kid making good. Par 3 contest also happening today. Headlines are brought to you by DraftKings. Enter code BOSTON to play free with your first deposit in DraftKings' $100,000 fantasy golf contest for golf's first major. Starts tomorrow. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
98.5 The Sports Hub is Boston's home for sports. 98.5thesportshub.com is Boston's home page for sports. Add it to your bookmarks and stay in the game. Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Here come the drums. Lewis off Brady's left. Yep, as the quarterback takes a shotgun snap. Looking for Cooks. He's got a step, and he can't get there as the ball lands at the 30. A beautiful throw as Brandon Cooks could not reel it in.
He short-armed it. How does he not run through this? If it's going to be away from you, lay out.
Oh, that's not. He's got to have that. It's one of the frustrating things with Cooks at times. It seems like everything's got to be on target.
Quarterback takes a shotgun snap. He's looking left. He throws back at the end zone. Incomplete. He was looking for Cooks to reverse direction.
Tom Brady is so frustrated right now with Brandon Cooks.
How would you explain what Cooks is supposed to do?
Oh, my God. Cooks went to the back end line and went right. Brady thought he's breaking left. There was a hole in the middle. Mm-hmm. He's not reading things correctly.
Throws it for Cooks on the slack. Knocked down by Adoree Jackson.
He's wanting him to come flatter. Brady's looking right at him. This is money time. You got to stick with Lewis, Gronkowski, Amendola.
Get trusted.
Hour number two, Zolak and Bertrand. Why did the Patriots trade for Brandon Cooks in the first place and then try and extend him? Considering Tom Brady, not the best of the deep ball throwers in the NFL.
Wicked.
Who could chuck that ball a little bit that's no longer on the Patriots roster and has since relocated to the West Coast? You think Brandon Cooks would be a nice pairing with a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo running your offense?
23-year-old burner?
Yeah, did that factor
would've been nice.
In?
Maybe did. Something to think about.
Does Jimmy Garoppolo have first-round arm talent? That's what I want to know. So you have that first-round arm
talent.
Boy,
how did they get a 23 for Cooks and they only got a second for Jimmy?
Oh, don't go down that road. That's really going to make some people upset.
Oh, Jesus.
Maz just texted me. Maz said, I said that last spring.
Oh, shut up.
What's that?
The Garoppolo theory.
You know what? The Garoppolo theory.
Maz called it.
Called it. Tony Maserati called it.
He's a troll. Did you see what he did this morning?
Hey, that's not a troll job. You know, that's a legitimate question.
He probably said it.
They gave up a first-round pick to get a receiver who's a burner, who goes down the field, has three routes, as Gerard Mayo just told you. Okay?
It's never been a Brady-type receiver.
That's not a Brady guy.
No, it's not.
Why do you go get that guy and try and extend him? Because you have Jimmy Garoppolo in the pipeline and you're trying to make a move to switch to him?
You know, Brady's receivers, Troy Brown, Welker, Edelman, Amendola, Hogan. Even Mitchell fights for the ball.
And the thing that prompted my thought in this was, oh, down the field, you know, they sometimes couldn't get in sync. Yeah, there were also times deep down the field where Brandon Cooks had to stop. Had to stop to make the catch. Slow down. Go from, instead of 0 to 60, 60 down to about 5 miles an hour. And sit there and wait and then catch it. And had he been hitting stride, he maybe would have been gone.
Yeah.
Because if he had a better deep ball thrower, like Jimmy Garoppolo, who's much younger than Tom Brady, who's got a rocket arm.
Yeah. And I remember when the Cooks deal got done, how excited we were because, holy crap, they've never done this type of thing. It felt like 07 all over again. Randy Moss type deal. Adalys Thomas type deal. Coney Ealy. It's last year's reaction to winning the Super Bowl felt like it was in 07 and 08 when they loaded up. Randy's a much different player than Cooks, but you understand what I'm saying. It's a guy that takes the top off.
Yeah.
That's what we were waiting for. It never happened. And all those calls right there, that was from the Tennessee playoff game, right, Jim?
Those were all from one game, weren't synced up.
But then he came back to his credit the next week against a better defense than
make it
Tennessee.
To that game. Didn't make it to that
You
game.
Were laid up that night.
Yeah,
I couldn't. I know you went home and upset Hardy.
I did. Made Hardy very upset.
Hardy was with
that was
me.
A nice recap of Cooks' night for you, though.
Very upset.
There you go.
Thank you. I did. I was able to watch the game.
Yeah. I'm sure you really weren't wild. You were probably still
shaking. Yeah, I was. Rattled.
Like, what are we doing?
Did you kind of cringe when there was like a hard hit in the game?
Oh. No. No.
But to Cooks' credit, he came bounced back the next week against Jacksonville.
Yeah.
A tougher defense and had a good game. See? So, I mean, he could. I think in a perfect world where
the
pieces
are. Do they beat Jacksonville
right,
without him?
No.
No.
They probably don't. No.
I mean, we've already talked about.
No.
Do they win the Pittsburgh game without him?
No.
Do they win the Houston game without him? Hell no.
I told you.
Do they win the playoff game against Jacksonville without him?
Without Brandon Cooks,
no.
Two less losses, and you're playing on a road in an AFC championship game. That's how that one rolls.
His Super Bowl was bad, but take that thing out of it, and you look at games that he actually helped you win. He did not help you win the Super Bowl. You didn't win the Super Bowl. If he was on the field, I don't know if you do win.
In a sad way, the Super Bowl sort of summed up his time here. Where he makes the catch. It's a great catch. Brady got drilled on the play.
A crappy way to leave.
But from my points of misunderstanding spacing in the offense and what's a defense doing. It's one thing that I'm telling you, I played with a bunch of guys in this league where you put them out there and say, you're going to run 10 yards and you run across. Certain guys can see coverage to where, okay, I'm running across. I better break it down, though. Because there's a guy sitting there, and just the way things are rolling away from me, I got to anticipate this, that, or the other. And he can never do that. He's got too many opportunities here.
Well, I just think everyone needs to ease up. Listen, the Patriots won the deal.
But he's good, but he makes the catch, but I think he got him.
That player didn't suck. That was a good player.
He made the catch, but I think he got himself knocked out, and the quarterback still went on to throw for 505 yards.
Gave this team a good year, but somehow I fear down the road it's going to be, that guy stunk.
Nope.
That's what it's going to turn into.
Nope, didn't stink.
I can feel it happening already. Earl in Boston. Hey, Earl.
Hey. You know, Zoe is such a Brady bag carrier.
Yep.
That everything, that anytime Brady does something wrong, it's the receiver's fault. Yeah. I've played quarterback my whole life. And
how many years?
I played at Boston College.
Nice.
I played at Northeast. I played in Europe. And I see it all the time. Quarterbacks always do that. Anytime they make a mistake.
Yeah.
It's the receiver's fault. I did it a few times, threw a few interceptions. Hey, he ran the wrong route. He did this wrong. So,
yeah.
Cooks used to run those deep routes perfectly, and Brady would underthrow him. The guy is a
we said that 20 minutes ago.
Huh?
We said that 20 minutes ago.
Okay, so he did his – what he came here to do was to be the deep threat,
correct,
a la Randy Moss. So,
nah, not even. No, Randy was his true number one planet type guy.
Yeah, of course. But Randy,
he was going to be Dante Stallworth here, Earl.
Okay, yeah, all right. Yeah. I'll give you that.
That's great. That's his role, and he would have been fantastic doing that. And I said this a half hour ago, Earl. Unfairly to Brandon Cooks, he wasn't given the opportunity to be what they expected him to be here because he was forced into something because of the Edelman injury, and Hogan went down for 4 weeks. Don't forget that.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, When he's here, what he did a great job for what he did, for what he was, because he was forced to something different. So they wanted to sign him back. He just wasn't going to, take the lower money. But that,
wait a minute, the
Patriots way.
Well, it is the Patriots way. They will pay you if you're the best at your position. They'll go to that number. They did it with Gronk. They've done it with Brady. Can you pay Cooks $14 million when Rob is making $9 million?
No. Yeah, okay,
that's why we're here at this point.
But you got the different positions, and that's where the tight end in this day and age comes into play, where the same thing that happened with Graham when he was the best tight end, but he was out split out a lot of the time. He's the best receiver.
Is that a Fisher cat?
Huh?
What the hell was that?
Okay, Earl, we're going to let you go. Good call. Like that. How he said he played quarterback his entire life, and you're expecting him to say, you know, for my Pee Wee team.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, no, I played at Boston College. That was good.
That was good.
That's good. You don't get too many of those.
York League, too. Yeah.
Quick Google shows that no Earl's a quarterback for
Boston College. Wait a minute, Jim. Wait a minute, Jim.
Unless he was using an assumed name. Could have been using an assumed name.
Okay. What do you mean? Not starting? Maybe he was a backup. Maybe he was a backup quarterback at BC. I don't know.
I think we know.
I played.
You played? Did you play, Zell?
I played a little bit.
But would you say you played your whole life?
I know. I almost been doing this longer than I played. Holy Jesus, I've been doing this longer than
I
played.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow, what a kick in the nuts that is, huh? Look at Boomer. Boomer's done this more than he's played too. Mm. What the hell? Damn it.
So you've almost been done for 20 years.
Oh, that one hurts.
That's a low blow, Jim. That's for the wife.
I thought of that.
That's for the wife comment earlier.
They said it's been 20 years since the Patriots have had two firsts and two seconds in the draft.
Yeah. Have fun in the upper deck tomorrow.
617-779-0985. Do you think the Patriots move up with this pick and draft a quarterback? Do you think at 23 they'll have a chance to draft the quarterback that they are targeting? Are the Patriots targeting Lamar Jackson?
Oh, wait a minute.
There's a new report on this today that Lamar Jackson has links to the Patriots. There's a tie-in to the Pats.
Shut up.
I'll tell you what it is coming up next.
Are they aliens?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everyone knows all about my direction. And in my heart somewhere, I want to go there. Still, I don't go there. Everybody says, say something, say something, say something, say something, say something.
Yahoo Sports, Charles Robinson has this. There is one quarterback in particular who may be the target of Tuesday's trade with the Rams. Heisman Trophy winner, Louisville quarterback Lamar Jackson. By acquiring the 23rd overall pick in the first round in exchange for wideout Brandon Cooks and already holding number 31, the Patriots have given themselves flexibility for a quarterback selection in this month's draft, and Jackson could emerge as New England's top option for two key reasons. Thanks to an inside pipeline, Patriots coach Bill Belichick knows virtually everything he can about Jackson, and the Louisville star already knows plenty about the base concepts of New England's offense.
Ooh.
Ready for this?
Uh-oh. We'll zero out slot here. What do you got?
From 2014 to 2016, former NFL executive Mike Lombardi worked for Belichick inside the Patriots franchise. That's no secret. We know about the relationship between Lombardi and Belichick. It goes back years. During this time, Lombardi's son Matt was an offensive assistant for the Louisville Cardinals. This gave Belichick a sustained flow of information on Jackson, not to mention the ability to process the data with Lombardi, who likely knows precisely what Belichick wants from a quarterback. Having an inside track is vital in any quarterback evaluation, and Belichick, who wrote the foreword to Lombardi's forthcoming book, Gridiron Genius, undoubtedly has one when it comes to Jackson. So Lombardi's kid on the staff at Louisville knows Lamar Jackson inside and out, and that is obviously a connection back to Bill Belichick. Here's another one. While Brady and Jackson might be in opposite ends of the athletic spectrum, they share something where it truly counts. Both run a tweaked version of the Earhart Perkins offensive system. Former offensive coordinator Charlie Weiss introduced the system to the Patriots. Current coordinator Josh McDaniels was groomed inside of it, all while the scheme was tailored to fit Brady over the years. Meanwhile, Jackson ran a version of the same pro-style system at Louisville under Bobby Petrino.
Mm.
That gives Jackson the ability, though, to know formations, personnel, verbiage, principles that have defined New England offense for years. So how about that? He already has base concepts of the system. He could come in and continue to learn within that system. And Bill Belichick had a pipeline of information to Louisville by way of Mike Lombardi's son.
How did he do on his Wunderlich?
Reportedly not well.
Not well, I don't think. It's an extremely complicated offense with a massive, massive investment of time over the years to where it's tweaked to a certain point. It's now Brady's offense. It ain't easy to pick up. Because I was under the Zampezi one for many years, and then we went to the Earhart offense when Charlie took the stuff over. I don't know. I just see him as a piece. I don't see them investing with him to be the next guy. I can see them being intrigued by his talent. It's such a luxury pick. But we're getting past that point where the next guy you had that you developed for 4 years was going to be the next guy. But Brady outlived that. I don't think Brady's outliving the next guy you take. So the next guy you take is really probably going to be the next guy.
So Lamar Jackson.
I just don't see it being Jackson.
Lamar Jackson.
You were out completely on him. Does this change you a little bit, knowing this information?
It helps. It helps. If he's got the basic zero-out slot, if he knows, he understands 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 protections, if he could change that stuff from 91 to 93 and flip it, is it 94? If that's all in, and then he's able to understand coverage, that helps. Sure helps you get a jump on
guys. Can I add one more to Charles Robinson's story that might make you think either better or worse about it? Petrino is the coach. They took Ryan Mallett back in the day, was a Petrino guy at Arkansas. Just another connection that they have.
It's a good point.
That might not make you feel better about it, though.
No, it doesn't. I think.
But where'd you get Mallett?
I also think Mallett was a jackass. So.
Yeah, but he bounced around, and he was 6'7", and had all the size.
Mallett was early third round.
Right. And he dropped because of his issues.
The Wunderlich score on Lamar Jackson was reportedly a 13.
I checked Mallett's, by the way. It was 26.
Yeah. Brady's was a 33. But Dan Marino scored 16, and Jim Kelly scored 15. Those guys could play ball.
They could play.
Yep. Do they understand offenses?
Seems like it.
K-Gun. It was Jim's offense, K-Gun.
I think
Danny had his own offense.
Terry Bradshaw, 16.
Oh, he could spell cat if you spotted him to CNA, according to Hollywood Anderson.
Johnny Manziel, 32.
Great. Terrific. Yeah, genius. That guy's got it all figured out. So the reliability of what the score means is sort of up in the air.
But what about Casario being there for the workout, though? We kind of glossed over it last week, but he was there for the workout. Does that mean anything to you, though?
Yes.
It should.
Yeah, John Robinson was there for Bridgewater's workout when Teddy came out of Louisville. Yeah. When you send a GM there, that's more, lends a little more credence than sending a lower-level scout, of which there are like 47 of them.
617-779-0985. Scott is in Millville. Scott.
Hey, what's up, Bob?
How you doing?
Hey, how's it going? So, I just have a question about the Brandon Cooks trade. So, there's a report that says that the Rams and the Patriots have been working on this trade for over a month now.
Yes.
So, with that timeline, it puts you before free agency starts. So, why didn't they keep Amendola if they're saying, okay, well, he might be moving Cooks, so we better have an insurance policy in case we do move him. We might as well keep Amendola just in case, anything happens. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but I'll hang up and let you guys talk. Thanks.
Okay, Scott.
I think they would have loved to keep Amendola. The money wouldn't let him. They were going to guarantee Amendola that. How many pay cuts he'd take here? It kind of shows you the value they put on him. They even let Edelman hit the market, and I'd take Edelman is a much more important player than Amendola. Julian, go test the market, then come back. And by the way, with all this Wunderlich discussion,
yeah,
just got a text from somebody on the inside. Bill doesn't even use the Wunderlich score when evaluating players. He uses film, and he uses the person-to-person
in the
meetings.
Interview.
And just kidding, you turn on the film, can the kid play? I think we all know the kid can play.
So throw that negative out then.
Throw that negative
out. There you go. That doesn't count.
And that's
in the eyes of the Patriots, the Wunderlich means zero.
I trust this source 100%. So,
yep. So to answer that question, if they knew they were going to be moving on from Amendola, or they knew they weren't going to pay Amendola and they already started working on the trade, I don't have an answer. I'm just guessing that they have another plan. What that plan is remains to be seen. I have no idea.
Boy, I'd love to know about Mitchell, too.
But they could roll with what they have right now.
You're fine. Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
if you have Mitchell's health.
Yes.
Mitchell's one of Mitchell comes back.
Everything is assuming
health.
Don't
talk to me about Kenny Britt and Philip Dorsett and stop it. Stop it. Talk to me about Edelman's going to be healthy or they believe that Mitchell is good to go or something like that.
If Philip Dorsett truly takes over the Brandon Cooks role and excels in it, then Ben Volen can go out there and say, look at me. Because that's what he said in that article. That'll take away from the other
part of
that article.
He's taking a victory lap today, isn't he?
No, he said to cut the guy. Cut him. The guy who just netted
him a number
23 overall.
But he also said that Philip Dorsett can give you that.
Where's Cattles today? Where's Cattles? Need Cattles in here today.
Get his foot fixed or something.
Him and Jones were screaming at each other last night.
Were they? Can we get some of that for later?
Can we get some? I don't know if it's like it's like 19 minutes long.
Why don't we get a best of?
Give me 45 seconds.
Why were they screaming at each other? Jones hated Cooks too.
No, but Cattles.
It was over. Who was more hypocritical over the Cooks trade?
That's right.
It was. That's what the. It wasn't over the actual.
I want that. I need that today. Our listeners need that, Jim.
I'm a hypocrite. No, you're a hypocrite. No, you're no.
Oh, I like that.
Vulture.
Like that a lot. Blue and Seekonk. Blue.
Hey, hold on. I got up.
Hey, yeah.
Good call.
I'm trying. You guys were on speaker. Hi, guys.
Hey, Blue.
Here. How are you doing, guys?
Good. How you been, man?
All right. How about you?
Good. How are you?
All right.
What do you got, Blue?
All right. Listen, when Cooks came here last year, everybody was excited, even you guys.
Sure.
Now that he's gone, you know, you guys are kind of, I don't know, ragging on him.
Yeah, right. Whoa.
I don't understand that. Why?
Who's ragging on him? Scott Zolak. You're talking to Zoe on this one.
Yeah, you're right.
Yep, you are. Scott Zolak. Ragging on Cooks. Anti-Cooks guy.
I think I've been consistent.
You have.
Throughout the process.
You have. You've been consistent.
I got excited about it, and it never hit its peak. And maybe the Edelman injury had something to do with that. Unfairly to Brandon Cooks.
Continue with your calls on the Brandon Cooks trade and also check in on the Bruins, who no-showed last night in Tampa Bay. That's coming up after headlines.
Sports Hub headlines.
I watched Hill's 3-0. Patriots parted ways with receiver Brandon Cooks yesterday. He's off to Los Angeles, going to play for the Rams. Patriots sending him and a fourth-round pick out to L.A. in exchange for first-rounder, number 23 overall in the upcoming draft, and a sixth-round pick. Bruins, as we just said, lost to the Lightning in Tampa last night, 4-0, now in a tie for first place with the Lightning. Bruins have one more game left, though. They will visit the Panthers tomorrow night. One more game left overall. They have a game in hand, as we say. 4 games left. Lightning have 3 games left. Game in hand for the Bees. Tomorrow night, they visit the Panthers. Celtics
have a game in my hand.
Celtics lost to the Bucks in Milwaukee last night, 106-102. They're right back at it tonight when they visit the first-place Raptors. Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell have the call starting at 7:30, tip at 8, here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. An announcement from the Masters today that they are going to establish the National Women's Amateur Championship, a new event. Best 72 players in the world will come to Augusta starting next year. Final round will be played at Augusta National Saturday before the Masters. Or Masters. Headlines brought to you by AdCare Hospital. If you or a loved one is struggling with alcohol or drug use, help is just around the corner. Call AdCare at 1-800-ALCOHOL. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It is no longer wise to ignore us.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Far point, Miller with a long drive. Vasilevsky fends it off and the horn sounds. The Tampa Bay Lightning shut out the Boston Bruins 4-0 tonight here at the Amalie Arena. And for the time being, the Bruins and the Lightning are tied atop the Atlantic. But it's the Bruins that retain a game in hand.
Well, I mean, teams go through it, right? So, you know, we had a day away from the rink yesterday. So there's really no excuse not to come out with some energy tonight. I thought they had more than us. That was apparent early on. Our execution was off. That happens sometimes when you're not practicing much, which we haven't. But, you know, we should have been able to find our game quicker, I think. And the urgency level for them was higher than ours at the end of the day. And
for zip. Tampa Bay wins.
That was a yuck fest.
Hardy, talk to me.
Yeah, buddy.
What happened with this team last night? Because I was glued to the Red Sox.
Seems like Tuca had a little problem seeing the puck last night. Couple of goals that, ones that he would normally stop. You know, there was a screen.
I thought you said you were going to block it.
There was a screen on one, but it's not the type of screen that normally bothers Tuca all that much.
Wait a minute, Hardy. The Bruins didn't score a goal last night.
Well, that's a problem, too.
I'm going to say, the first thing we're going to go to here is Tuca.
I turned it off, goal number two.
Yeah, there were guys.
How about the first one?
A couple of goals.
Did you hear the first one? Yeah. Let's hear the first one on Nesson. Jack and
here's Kucherov. Pass Bergeron. Swings it back for Point. The shot. Scores! Rask seemed to make two movements on the puck. I don't know if it changed direction or if he was fooled by it, but it beats him blocker side. It's 1-0 Tampa Bay.
Yeah, not sure if it's one of those knuckle pucks that changes direction.
Knuckle puck.
Because you think of all the shots that Tampa's had, the opportunities that they've had, that this one finds the back of the net. You know, it was a shot that Tuukka Rask normally tracks beautifully, gets it with the blocker, directs it to the corner of the rink, and it looked like it just kind of dipped under the blocker.
I think, you know, I'm guessing here that the leading edge of the puck was it was tilted down a little bit, and it sort of functioned as a sinker.
What the hell? Well, the leading edge of the puck was pointed downward, and therefore it was a sinker?
Hang on. They did do a little back and forth on the broadcast with
what the hell?
With Remy and the guy with black hair. Dave
it's like
O'Brien.
Hardy and I playing wiffle ball in the studio.
Oh, my God. I'm the master of the knuckle sinker.
Moose knuckle puck sinker.
So you're not wrong in your assessment of Tuca. It's just that, what the hell? I mean, they didn't score a goal. They didn't show. They didn't show up for the game.
Hey, listen. I think, you know, I'm guessing here that the leading edge of the puck was tilted down a little bit, and it sort of functioned as a sinker.
Yeah. Aerodynamics.
So the puck
to me like it went straight by him into the back of the net.
Yeah.
It was definitely a goal.
I think it's two broadcasters.
It was a good goal. We have a good goal. We have a good hockey goal.
I think those are two broadcasters tap dancing around their original commentary about, must have got deflected or the puck moved, or he didn't see that one. And after seeing it on the slow-mo replay, we got a knuckle puck sinker here, the leading edge from an aerodynamic standpoint of, I don't know if you ever played hockey, and the tip of that puck goes down.
That makes it tough.
They fly. I mean, that's how it cuts the air.
Tough to see. There's stealth. You know, it's
it
not
could
a
be
ball.
Like that Kennedy bullet.
It's more like a disc.
Like the one that hit the
magic puck.
Yeah, the magic puck.
Need that old glowing puck from Fox to see what it actually did.
Oh, God. Well, you know, that didn't glow in real life, Jim. That was only on the TV set that it glowed. But yeah, there's another one where he got kind of stuck over on the left post, and there was a Lightning player kind of in the crease, but the puck had been in the crease, so it was okay.
Second one was tough. Even he didn't see it.
Even he didn't, argue that one. He's like, nah, the puck was there, and it came out.
It was a ho-hummer night for them.
It was a ho-hum night for a team that they had taken care of the last two meetings and looked like, and I still think the Bruins have their way with them in a seven-game series, but it's not a sweep.
Yeah,
it feels more like a 4-2 series win.
Every once in a while you get one of these, but the problem is they haven't given you one in a while. Or they did the other day, and they came back
the day before.
Well, no, what was it?
Was it distracted? Yeah. Too many amusement park rides?
Instagram. They're all Instagram in the same picture of each other, yeah. Apparently Schaller might have thrown up on a ride.
That sucks.
Maybe you have a little big rat, little big chew.
That's
big,
right.
Big chief. Sounds like good chew. Good stuff. Tequila.
I'm not concerned about the Bruins now showing on this one.
No.
I just can't find this to be a big deal.
They kind of got beat. Was it Philly when they came back? They were down a couple goals and forced into overtime and they lost?
Yeah.
Right? The other day?
Kept waiting for it last night. Now they start crawling back. They're going to make it a game. They're going to force overtime. It's going to be an overtime or a shootout loss after being down 2-0, 3-0, and they didn't respond. No. Okay. Yeah. Go check on the Red Sox. See what the Celtics are up to in Milwaukee.
A lot of them use the fanny packs at Busch Gardens, according to the pictures.
I think they issue those at the gate. Comes with your day pass. Here, hold your items in this for going on the rides and whatnot. You need a good fanny pack.
That could be like Zone. Just hold your phone on the roller coaster when the pictures being flashed. Those got phone in one hand. Birds in the other.
Mark is in Georgetown on the Bruins. Hey, Mark.
Guys, what's up? It's been a while.
Hi.
What's going on?
What's happening? Hey, so I just wanted to talk about the Bruins last night. Honestly, like you guys mentioned in that little intro right there, I'm not too worried about it. Scoring goals hasn't been a problem for the Bees all year, so those games happen. You know, they've also been playing a ton of hockey in this second half. I think they've played more games than any team in the NHL, I want to say, right in the past, like, what, month? They're playing just about every other day, so I can't really get mad at them if they don't come out with that, you know, pizzazz and extra first step that they, you know, that they sometimes do. But I think this is the most complete Bees team we've seen in a long time. I think the fourth line is back and effective, and not to mention, they're running four effective lines, which is what they, you know, back in the early, you know, 2011, 2010, 2012, 13 teams, that was something they had. They've solidified that sixth D-man spot that they kind of rotated guys in and out of that were just replaceable for years. And honestly, the difference with Bruce Cassidy is so night and day different. Look at the Canadians, like the Applebee's of the NHL. There's not a single person that wants to play over there, but that wants to go over there. That is such a negative draw for players right now. It's just, thank God we got out of that. I'm not like knocking Claude Julien or anything like that. I just think the game's kind of passed the guy's style by. But Bruce is really kind of like opening this whole team up. It just seems like everybody's playing their game. I think, I don't know, I'm a little bit concerned about the rookies and the young kids coming into the playoffs, but I think the Bruins have the strongest veteran core in the NHL right now. It used to be the Blackhawks, but now I think I think the Bruins absolutely have that kind of niche kind of reeled in and kind of secured. I like us against any team. And then, by the way, Hardy, I think you just said, I'm not worried about Tampa Bay in a seven game. I think the Bruins washed them in four. Maybe even, sweep them five games, not worried about Tampa Bay.
Okay, Mark, I'm going to stop it right there. Appreciate the call. You are clearly high on the Bruins right now. Don't be a stranger. I expect to hear more Mark in Georgetown now that Bruins season is going into the playoffs.
You might be right, Beetle. Anything less than Eastern Conference Finals might be a disappointment.
I think so. I mean, I think the way they can weasel their way out of that is by, you know, losing an overtime in a game seven of the second round or something and having a very good series. I feel like they got to get to that Eastern Conference Finals. The expectations at the start of the year, I don't think apply anymore. They've already exceeded that. We'll give them that. Now it's about those short-term expectations based on what we've just seen from this team. And this year, it's been pretty damn good. 617-779-0985. Cooks trade. Bruins. Red Sox. We're mixing all of it together here on Zolak and Bertrand.
It's the joy of the hot dog.
Boom. Like, I win. Like, yeah.
But he has the ability to get skinny in the hole.
I know. I want to get it out.
Highly underrated piece of meat.
Beetle and Zell.
Sports Hub host for the most.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Bringing this young man from New Orleans, I don't know, except since I've owned the team, the only player that could make an impact like that at wide receiver was Randy Moss. He doesn't have his height, but it looks like he's got his speed, so I think that's complimentary to what we have on the team. I'm excited about him joining us.
That was Stopwatch Bob, Patriots owner Robert Kraft, giving you a scouting report on Brandon Cooks when the team acquired him last offseason. Cooks now a member of the Rams. Patriots swinging a deal last night. 617-779-0985. Back to your phones as promised on this. And everything else on the day. Peter in Pembroke on Cooks. Hey, Peter.
Hey, boys. I was just curious. I think they would have tried to re-sign Cooks to do the Rams a solid. And in the process, they would have gotten maybe a first and maybe a third back instead of a first and a sixth. And I'm curious to wonder what you guys think they'll do with the two picks, if they'll trade up, keep them, or trade down.
Wait, you think they did the Rams a solid in this?
No, I think that by trying to re-sign Cooks, they would have done the Rams a solid.
Oh, okay.
They would have gotten a higher pick.
I just
first on the sixth.
I didn't follow that. And do you think that's what they were doing?
I think that's what they were trying to do. And then when it didn't happen, instead of getting a first and then a higher pick than the sixth, they got the first and the sixth.
Okay. All right. So that's what we have.
Okay, more to the question. Okay, what are you going to do with the pick? And a lot of people think, okay. And my first reaction was,
I just don't think that's what they were. They weren't trying to extend Cooks. to trade him.
My first reaction was, ooh, okay, maybe they could be in on OBJ. Maybe because of the Ram tie-in, right? And that was quickly refuted by Schefter. So they're not going after OBJ. Plus, you got to pay that guy probably 18 to 20 a year, eventually.
Who?
OBJ.
Okay.
He wants to be the highest paid receiver.
Well,
that's
if he keeps acting like an idiot,
right,
that's going to keep his
cost
down.
I understand, but he's that good. He's good. He's the best
great.
Receiver.
He's the best receiver in the game.
You could help, and I heard this, well, you're taking a guy away to not help Brady. Go back to the early years of Dante Stallworth, Chandler Jones, when they move and maneuvered in that first round to move up and get two key.
You meant to say Dante Hightower, right?
I'm sorry, that said Hightower and Jones, right?
Yeah, you said Dante Stallworth.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. No,
Dante
Hightower. I just want everyone to know what you meant.
Dante Hightower and Chandler Jones. Mm-hmm. And we all got excited because you got two impact players right away, and they started as rookies. That helps Brady. So if you come away from that Super Bowl where Brady threw from 505 yards, by the way, without Cooks.
Right.
And with Gronkowski and Hogan.
But with
two guys that are back.
With Danny Amendola.
With Danny Amendola. Not with Deion Lewis.
With Nate Solder. Protected.
See, James that White's more of a third down guy. See, Deion Lewis was not impactful in that game. James White's the one that had the long touchdown run.
Which apparently pissed off Deion Lewis.
Yeah, I guess so.
What a joke.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
So
that is stupid.
You could help Brady by, say you use these picks, four in the first 63, to maneuver up to get a stud of a defensive player.
I'll be on board with that. You know what I won't be on board with in terms of the short term? Is drafting a quarterback.
Yeah.
Like if they draft a quarterback, that doesn't help them next year. That doesn't help them over the next couple of seasons.
I got all excited on the way in today because Jim Louth informed me. Jim's one of those draftnik guys.
Loves the draft. Jim, we always bring this up. Just remind everybody, if you were to win like the Powerball, last week, someone won $500 million in Powerball. What would be at the top of your wish list?
Boat and beachfront property.
No, sports-wise.
Especially this year.
Sports-wise. What would you try and buy?
Spend the draft in the war room. Brady's like war room.
He wants to buy his way into the war room.
Brady's yoga house.
Like of all the things.
This year would be fascinating.
Oh my God. Can you imagine?
Ooh, wet dream.
Imagine where they're going to take it? 23.
What do you think Jim would wear? Would Jim wear the Bob the Builder work boots, or would he have a brand new pair of sneakers on because it's sports?
Yes. No, he would buy himself a new pair of Skechers to wear in there for them.
But I didn't mean to derail you there, Zoe. What did he tell you?
He said, there's a kid coming out. Is it Virginia Tech, Jim? Virginia Tech?
Yeah.
19-year-old phenom linebacker. Who is the son of this tight end who used to play in the National Football League by the name of Farrell Edmonds. I go, excuse me? I played with Farrell Edmonds at Maryland.
Yeah.
Farrell Watusi Edmonds. He is one of the biggest. He was the original Ben Coates. The original Ben Coates. This kid was 6'7", and he could freaking fly. And he was a tight end, and he was the first Ben Coates. He was Ben Coates prior to Ben Coates being Ben Coates, if that makes any sense. Farrell ended up having a nice career, went to Miami, worked out down there with Marino for a little bit. But his kid is a 19-year-old linebacker. How do you enter the draft as a 19-year-old? Would you enter high school when you were 14? But I guess this kid is a hell of an athlete.
And it's a linebacker-heavy draft, right, Jim?
Off-the-ball, crazy-ass.
I've heard
young,
linebacker, off-the-ball linebacker.
Young stud linebacker.
Yeah. Well, that's good news.
6'5", 250.
Here's what I would caution.
Jesus!
Here's what I would caution, though.
Oh, my God!
Dante Hightower did not have the impact in year one that Dante Hightower had in years following. Chandler Jones had an impact in year one. Dante Hightower was not as much of an impact player.
Correct.
He kind of eased his way in, which is not a criticism. It is what it is.
I think he had a little more on his plate and had to steady things, had to read and react a little bit more than Chandler did.
Because of the position.
Right. Right. It taxes you, like Mayo. Yeah. Wow, Farrell Edmonds.
So he turns 20 a couple days after the draft. So he's 19, but he turns 20 before the season.
Farrell was like that guy I played with. Aaron Jones, who used to hold meetings regarding some of the things to help your male enhancement.
4.54.
Yeah.
40.
I'm sorry, what?
Ooh, wow.
What?
Oh, Aaron Jones. He used to hold court in the locker room. He used to go down to Chinatown to get these ointments.
Oh, yeah.
That help.
Creams?
Balms. Yeah. Bumps. And had guys like Chad Eaton and everybody down there with the
essential oils.
Pencils behind it. You know, it's going every lunch. They'd be in their notes. Okay, write down this. You guys write down this one. You apply this with this.
Was it a big issue for guys at that age?
Yeah, some of the core linebackers and offensive linemen.
Are you talking about performance or just like size?
I think it's the size. Yeah.
I don't know if we can do it now, if maybe we can set aside some time later in the show. I would like to propose a few different scenarios to Jim, should he ever win Powerball or Mega Millions. Like, you understand what he wants to do.
Fascinating.
But I want to get more detailed about
it. Fascinating was
the
word he used. Fascinating.
Yeah, like $100,000. Jim, you realize you won't be able to speak. You're just going to be able to sit there and watch.
Yeah, that's fine.
Can't bring anybody with you.
That's okay.
You just hands folded. And
that's all he does. He sits there and he nods with his hands folded like this on top of his tummy.
I can only...
Seeing guys, seeing the way they react to picks as they come off the board, seeing how it actually goes down. That'd be fascinating.
Yeah, see Jonathan on the phone and nobody's on the other end.
I'd be fascinated at the mind-numbingly boredom and staggering.
Oh no, it's fascinating. Like, when the trade, Hardy, you don't know.
Like
the phone's ringing.
How disappointed you would be.
You got 15 minutes to make this deal go. Go, and you're talking to this team, that team. This guy's on the phone. There's some. I've heard some good stories.
What are you doing? You throw in. I'm not talking to him. You talk to him. Tell me when we're ready.
You're not doing the deal, Jim. You don't get to say anything. You don't get to participate.
That's fine. You don't think there's going to be a look across the table from like somebody and be like, well, what about... No, he sucks. That guy's terrible. You don't think there's going to be this like raw like speak that happens in that thing? That like,
yeah.
You think it's just robotic?
Yes, I think there would
it's
be...
It's not robotic.
I think there would be human people talking words to each other. I can't imagine spending money to witness it.
What about Ernie Adams? Could you imagine? It's the only time Ernie Adams talks and Jim would be there for it.
I'd pay $100,000 right. to hear somebody call and say another guy
Let
sucks.
Me ask you this. How interested would you be to talk to me if I sat in the war room with the Patriots the day after the draft?
I'd be interested. I think it'd be fascinating.
To sign some kind
I'm
of non-disclosure agreement.
I'm sure you would. You are not a draft guy, Jim.
Jim, they have those tools where they'll vaporize your thoughts.
I don't watch enough college football to know or care who
right,
most of these
well,
guys
does.
Are beyond the you know first.
Especially
10,
when they're trying
picks.
To draft the next quarterback. If they're trying to draft the next quarterback in this draft,
okay.
this is the one you want to be.
Okay.
In.
Let me.
Can I do
but,
it like
I mean,
this?
It's like,
Hardy, multiple choice. You get to do the draft war room, or you get to sit 10, 15 rows up at the 50-yard line of the Super Bowl. Which one do you pick?
Oh, please.
I know what you would pick. I know what I would pick. What would he pick?
Oh, I've been to 3 Super Bowls.
There it is. I knew it. He'd pick the freaking war room. That's what he would pick.
I've been to 3 Super Bowls. Yeah,
I know. I know you. So have I. And I would still pick 50-yard line, great seats.
10 rows up.
Super Bowl trip.
Oh.
The whole deal.
Mm.
Super Bowl's kind of... The entertainment that happens in the breaks is kind of obnoxious during the Super Bowl.
Oh,
by
my
the way.
God. This guy now has nitpicks about going to the Super Bowl.
He wants to sit in a room
Who
for
are you,
7
Jim?
Hours and hear guys
I'm not
talk
nitpicking
about
the Super Bowl.
You are nitpicking. You don't like the entertainment during the breaks at the Super Bowl?
Left guard.
The GD Super Bowl?
Right tackles from Pac-10 schools.
How many people would
and
give
he's
up?
He's talking about entertainment.
How many people would give up maybe their first child, if not their second, to go to the Super Bowl?
He's so louth.
We did this exercise when the Powerball is like at $1 billion. I'm like, what would you do? I would buy my own 9-hole golf course, and I wouldn't worry about making money about it. It'd be a place where I could play, and it open it up to kids, and have a school, have it be their home course. But you know, that would be like my golf
like your
course,
backyard,
yeah.
right?
That's, I'd fill my pool
that's
with
it.
Vodka.
That's my sporting thing, and have a tournament.
That's not
there
a sports thing.
That, you know, that'd
not
be
a sports thing.
Swimming, fun,
swimming.
Jim would spend his money to sit. Jim, sliding scale, what would you pay each day for each round? Like Thursday, what are you going to pay $100,000 for the first round?
It wouldn't matter. If I had FU money, it would be FU money.
Sunday, you'd spend $100,000 being there all day on Saturday?
Not Saturday.
To see them trade their
the fourth
late
through seventh rounds? No.
Their late fourth rounder for 2 6th rounders?
First night, second night. That's when you want to be there.
First 2 nights.
So first round, then second and third.
So $100,000 first thing around after that, not a dime.
Yeah, I wouldn't be as interested. No.
I don't. Look. I know him, but I don't know him. I don't understand him.
You're never going to be on the same wavelength.
Never.
Okay.
Never.
Just accept it. 90 seconds of headlines with Hardy. We're back with more on this Brandon Cooks deal that the Patriots made.